All right, so our goal today is to try to fill in some of the details of the questions that we asked yesterday regarding the issue of Shnayim She'asau. And as you recall, so we talked about the fact that the exemption that we find in Hilchos Shabbos of Shnayim She'asau, one could ask legitimately, is that an exemption mitzad the individual? It's basically focused on onshin or kaparas, things like that, because we simply can't attach it to any person, but the Aveira is there in full force? Or should we say that no, that the Aveira itself is lacking, that the Maisa is incomplete, and therefore the Aveira is incomplete? And that might be true all the more so when it comes to Shabbos than other things, that maybe Shabbos is particularly Maisa defined. And in general, one could throw things into different categories, say there's a Maisa type mitzvah and a result type mitzvah, and a Maisa type mitzvah is more susceptible to this issue and a result type mitzvah is less. But you could open up the question as to what goes in which box and what goes into the other box. Although we used as an example yesterday that Bishul Basa B'chalov might go safely into the result box and not be susceptible to this exemption. And Shabbos is uniquely qualified to be part of this discussion. And we also raise the question whether we should say that the fact that it's in Hotzah where this comes up, mostly, not exclusively, that's perhaps something to focus on as well, whether it's because of Malacha Gerua or something else, even though we generally do assume, based on Gemaras and elsewhere, that certainly by Malacha Shabbos you have such an exemption overall, but is there anything to focus on specifically about this coming up in the context of Hotzah? So to get into a little bit more of the details, so one of the questions that we tried to figure out is normally when we talk about Hilchos Shabbos and we use language like pater and things like that, so we're used to it meaning that pater aval aser, okay, that pater does not mean mutter, fine, and that seems to be the case here as well. However, maybe it's even less than that, and maybe normally pater means Mutter derabanan, mutter deraisa asa derabanan. And maybe in this case, pater means only pater, and asar even min ha-Torah. Is that possible to say that really the Aveira is here, it's just only a patur onshin? And that even on a level min ha-Torah, there's still a prohibition. So again, it sounds a little bit like it's against the spirit of the language of pater we're used to in Hilchos Shabbos, but if we think about it for a second, it doesn't really contradict anything. It's different, but it's not. It doesn't go against any principle, only the principle that pater doesn't mean mutter, but not that it can't mean asur min ha-Torah. And in fact, this truly would actually make it an even better shidduch for chatzi shir, because chatzi shir is a case where something is pater min ha-Pater and asur min ha-Torah. That's exactly what it is. It's an absence of an onesh, but it still is an aveira min ha-Torah. There is another model here which may also be relevant. There are some achronim who wanted to draw a comparison that we have a concept called misasik. Misasik basically means we talk about kavana and mitzvos and averos. So you have, let's say, to use an example in the context of mitzvos, so we have a whole sugya, we say mitzvos need kavana or not. That in order to fulfill a mitzvah, is it enough when you're doing the mitzvah that you know, you're doing the action, or do you have to also have intent that this should be for the sake of the mitzvah? Now it happens to be that in that discussion there's a level that's even lower than that. It's called misasik. And misasik basically means, as the word kind of sounds, you're busy. You're going about your day. You're not even focusing on the fact that you're doing something. So to give an example, let's say in the context of Hilchos Shabbos, so let's say if I turn on a light in Shabbos, I could do it really four different ways. Not getting into grumma switches. I'm saying in terms of normal light, you could do it four different ways. You could do it b'mezid. You could say, I don't care that it's Shabbos, I'm turning on this light. Or you could do it b'shogeg. You could say that, not say, you're not aware that it's Shabbos. You don't remember that it's Shabbos. So you're aware that it's Shabbos. You're not aware that it's prohibited to turn on lights on Shabbos. You're missing some key information here. Or you forgot some key information. So that would be a shogeg. But there really are two other levels as well. So for example, let's say if you trip and you fall on the light switch and you turn it on. So that's really nothing. That's called ones. That had no intent at all, no control over the action. So that's much less than a shogeg. And a shogeg, you're theoretically not responsible, but you are responsible because you should have been more careful, and that's why we have a kapara associated with it. By if you tripped and fell on it, that's not called a shogeg, that's nothing. Misasik would be that it's somewhere kind of in between, that you're controlling your actions, but you're not really thinking about what's going on. So you walk into the room and you flip on the light, because that's your habit. Every time you walk in the room, you flick on the light. So that's probably less than a shogeg. That's not even done with awareness of the action. And both in the context of mitzvos and in the context of averos, it has a significant status. It's a question, the Gemara talks about that in the context of mitzvos, whether that's maybe even less than not having kavanah. If you do a mitzvah just because you're going about your day and not even paying attention to what you're doing, that might not even be considered a mitzvah. Even if you say mitzvos ain't tzrichos kavanah. And by averos also, so we find the Gemara says in Krisus, there is a exemption from a korban, meaning that it's less than a shogeg, because a shogeg, you bring a korban. So if you say that misasek doesn't bring a korban, it means that it's less than a shogeg. So B'kiva Eger has a chiddush on this point. B'kiva Eger, question
with that? So, I don't really get the difference between honest and misasek. Like, misasek, you know you're going to tumble. I don't get it.
In Ones, you literally had no control. You just tripped. You had no intent whatsoever to do what you're doing. You know, something.
So you bump into it. That's like, oh, you're saying that.
Correct. Right. If you trip, you know, that's something that you really had no power whatsoever. It's a complete. You're a tzaddik bummer who's conscious and careful about everything, but this was totally against your will. But if somebody does it, you know. It's theoretically on purpose, but he's just not paying attention to anything. It's not that he's thinking at all about whether he's allowed to do this. It's just it's a habit, just going about his day. So the Gemara in Krisus, which I didn't put on the Marmakomos because it was too seemingly extraneous, is that it says you're exempt from a korban, which means that it's less than a shogeg. A shogeg, you'd be chayav a korban. And here we're saying it's not even on the level of a shogeg. So B'Kiva Eger has a tshuva in Simen Ches, where he writes that this is not to say that it's not an avera. He thinks that it is an avera. It is a maisa avera. It just happens to be that there's a pasuk that says you're a pater from a carbon. So the question is, what nafkamina does that have? Because by definition, nobody's asking a shayla first. That's pretty much the metzias of it. So what difference does it make? It could make some differences parenthetically. I'll slip this in the back door, especially because we haven't had an opportunity to discuss this frontally. This could be relevant to psik reisha. When you have the idea on Shabbos of a davar she'eino miskaven, that I do one action and it causes another action. So normally, we paskin, it's a machlokas in the Gemara, we paskin, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to cause the second action. You're allowed to do the first action that may lead to the second action. Unless it's psik reisha, unless you know for sure it's definitely going to happen, so then we don't allow it. So psik reisha modifies that. Davar she'eino miskaven, it's machlokas in the Gemara, but we allow it. We allow you to do the first thing, even though it may provoke the second thing, unless it's definitely going to provoke it. Separation. So, in explaining why that is, why should it be that you're either exempt and we let you do the first thing, even though it caused the second thing, or the other side of the equation, why do we blame you for the second thing if it's psikresha? You could focus on either part to ask the question. So there are those who draw the comparison to misasi, who say that basically that if you're going to bring about the second action, so even though you're not trying to do the second action, it just happens as a result of other things that you're doing, but that's similar to misasi. You're going about your day and this happens. So the idea that misasi is usur becomes relevant, because normally in misasi you're not really paying attention to. So who's asking the question? But here, if we say that you are paying attention to an action, but it could cause something else that you're not trying to do, if we categorize that as misasek also, so then it becomes relevant. So then the fact that that might be an isser, might be an aveira, even if it's not attached to a chiyuv, becomes potentially relevant. So in any event, B'Kiva Eger has this chiddush, which not everyone agreed with. It's a controversial chiddush, but it says that misasek is a maisa aveira, and there are those who want to suggest that this could be relevant here as well, that maybe that's the same kind of model, that this is like misasik, it's a maisa avera, and it's still asuman ha-Torah. This may also, by the way, you may also have another parallel, just to throw this into the mix also, we're using this as an excuse to bring in a lot of general Shabbos things, but malach ha-shein etzricha legufa. So there again, as you know, we probably paskin that malach ha-shein etzricha legufa is an asur, is an asur drabana. recently we spent some time also tangentially explaining what a Melachta Nisrich HaLegufa is, but in terms of its status, we probably assume that it's Mutter Min HaTorah Asa Mid Rabbanan. But there's a little bit of a machlokus about it, because the Rambam and one opinion in the Gemara did say Yechayah from Melachta Nisrich HaLegufa. So Lahalacha L'maisa, there are poskim who felt that it lands out somewhere in the middle, that you're pater, but that it is more of an isser than a normal isser derabbanan. That maybe it's somewhat of an isser deraisa, or it's closer to an isser deraisa, and you could spend more time explaining why that is. But again, the point is that we have some models where in Hilchos Shabbos you could say pater, and it's still closer to a deraisa. So Chatzi Shir for sure is one. Misasek might be one. Melachta Nisrich HaLegufa might be one, and maybe this is two. All right, so Lamaisa, what is the story? Is this Asim in HaTorah, or is it Asim in Rabbanan? So the truth is, if you look at Rishonim, do you get any sense from Rishonim on this issue? So the truth is, the Rishonim who allude to it, probably sound like it's an Issa Rabbanan, right? Can you identify any Rishonim that seem to go in that direction? Especially if you did this morning's Mar Makomos. I hint they were all in this morning's Mar Makomos. So what about, for example, Rashi and Daf Kuf Nun Gimel? Right, Rashi seems to say that, where Rashi talks about somebody, the Gemara there talks about if somebody is stuck on the road and it's about to become Shabbos, so the question comes up about if he has his wallet with him and he needs to save it from getting lost, what can he do? So Gemara talks about various options. Could he give it to a non-Jew if there's one available? What if there isn't one available? Can he put it on his animal? All kinds of different permutations. So in that context, the question of whether if he has a Jewish fellow traveler, can he carry it together with him? So in that context, the Rashi and Daf Kuftin Gimel, Rashi says, Kuftin Gimel Amid Beis, the first wide line, Kol Shubagufo Chayiv Chatas. So Rashi has this language that if he's going to do it with his friend, so Ki Avi Lechevri Havi Leishnaim Shaso V'Yosir Mi Derabbanan. So sounds like from that Rashi that in general it's also Mi Derabbanan. Also sounds like that from Tosfos, which I put on the list today, but we mentioned it yesterday. The Tosfos that uses this principle to explain the idea of Chai Nosei Es Atzmo. So when it comes to Chai Nosei Es Atzmo, the notion of carrying a person on Shabbos, so there also the attitude we seem to have is that that's also midrabbanan and not min haTorah. The way we assume is that we're dealing with a person who's able to walk, not necessarily an infant or somebody who's too ill to walk at all. But if that's the case, so then Tosfos connects it to Shnayim Shaso. So once again, the assumption seems to be that Shnayim Shaso is Midrabban.
Does he reject that though?
So that's also a question. But if the logic is the same, or, you know, if it's coming from that principle, or at least theoretically, so then maybe there's enough to work with, or not. So, but the assumption seems to be working off the basis that it's, it would create Midrabban. Because if the idea literally, what the words mean, right? Literally, the words mean Chai Nosei Es Atzmo, that the person carries himself. So what's the significance? Tosfos asks, what's the significance of him carrying himself? Are you saying that it makes it lighter? But lightness doesn't factor into Hotzah. So apparently, it's not that it makes it lighter, but it's that the burden is being split between the two people, that the subject is carrying and the person who's carrying him is carrying. So
that makes sense. Like the guy's getting carried is carrying himself.
Yeah, theoretically a person has the ability, you could also go the other way, a person who's going to struggle is going to make himself heavier than his weight. But theoretically a person, at least passively by not struggling, makes it easier. The assumption seems to be that if you have a 50-pound weight and the 50-pound weight is a child rather than a barbell, that the child is doing some of the work. The child's going to hold on to you and is doing some of the effort of keeping themselves afloat. And as we also know, if the child wants not to be carried, it'll feel much heavier than the 50 pounds. So it could go in both directions. But it sounds like from that Tosfos that we're dealing with an Issa D'Rabbanan if the comparison is there. So the question comes, so here's what you thought might be extraneous Mar Makomos. So what about the Rambam? Where does the Rambam fit into this? So the Rambam, when he lists Shnayim Shaso, so he states in Lacha Shabbos this is an exemption. This is in Perek Aleph Halacha Tezvav and Tezayin of Hilchos Shabbos. So some of the Achronim note, so for example, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva about this, and the tshuva is Rabbi Shlomo. It's in Chelik Beis Nesim in Peidalin. So he has a tshuva where he notes that his shoel, I don't know who his shoel is, but his shoel is somebody who wrote a sefer, because he begins the tshuva by saying, give me in the kuntres and the sefer that you sent me, here's some thoughts. So it doesn't identify the sefer as far as I saw, so the anonymous author who's addressed in Rav Shlomo Zalman's tshuva. So both he and our non-anonymous sponsor, Rav Yitzchak Chanan Spector, are both, at least initially, Rav Yitzchak Chanan maybe concludes differently, but they read the Rambam to say that it's also midrabanan, because the Rambam groups it with other such things, such as Davar Sheino Misgavein and Mekalkel. That's why I included those other halachas, to see where it is, both what's before it and what's after it. So it's right smack in the middle of Yisurim Drabanan. So there are those who read that to assume that the Rambam's saying this is midrabanan. So that was the anonymous author there, and the initial impression of Yitzchak Chanan in the Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak, that the Rambam is saying it's also midrabanan. So far, all the major Rishonim that we've seen are basically tilting towards drabanan here. However, she mentioned that Rav Shlomo Zalman himself, in his Tshuva, he questions that Raya. He's not so sure that that's a strong enough proof in terms of the Rambam. And he says something, listen carefully, here's a good review or quick oral midterm. This contradicts something we've mentioned recently, so see if you pick up on it, that the Shlomo Zalman says he's not sure it's a good proof. Why? Because the Rambam also, in Hilchos Shabbos, lists Daraisas and Drabanans together in one sentence. Because he talks about if you do an Akira without a Hanacha, so he groups that together with carrying less than a shear. Carrying less than a shear, that's Asur Min HaTorah, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, Kachra HaPoskim. That's the Poskim's conclusion, that there's an Issa Daraisa of doing a Malacha less than a shear. So, if that's the case, so then you can't really infer from the Rambam that the things he puts together are all of a similar status. Maybe sometimes he'll mix Daraisas and Drabanas. So, that contradicts something we did recently. If you recall, that's against the whole Totzis Chaim that we did in the context of Chatzis Shir, that he read that Rambam, as others do, to say that the Rambam doesn't accept the idea that Chatzis Shir is also Min HaTorah by Shabbos. Right? That in general seems to be a Machlokus HaRishonim, that even if the Poskim do weigh out on that side, that it's an Isser Deraisa, but there does seem to be Rishonim who felt it was Drabana, so the Rambam might be read that way too. Maybe the Rambam, by grouping together Zeokir for Zemeniach, is putting it together in a category with Chatzis Shir, and then he holds it all, Yisurim Drabanan. And that was the assumption that Rabbi Nachum Zemba had, if you recall, that he explained it based on the idea that the Rambam believes the Malacha is completely defined by Machshaves, and that based on the Rashbam, that there's no Machshaves if there's no Shir, so therefore the Rambam holds it's not a Malacha at all, and that there's no difference between a Chatzis Shir and Akira without Hanacha. They're both completely flawed malachas. Hi.
This might be wrong, but putting together
so
I mean, that's like, I've been told that. I don't know if that's
right. That would be different, because that's not a necessary conclusion. But it happens to be that we also assume that the Rambam hold that Hachnasa and Havara Dal Amos B'Shosarabim also were Avos. But even though the Gemaras and other Rishonim sound not that way, but for the Rambam it's actually not a problem.
Lach Mishnah asked
on the Rambam, right? Because the Gemara sounds like it's a Tolda, so why does the Rambam not make that distinction?
And so he says, you know, it's not. There is a distinction, but it wasn't enough
to make a big deal about it.
So he does hold that the Rambam did.
Right, Lach Mishnah did ask that question. Right, it has very little nafkamina practically. Right. One could even maintain that even if he did feel it was a tolda, it wouldn't necessarily prove that he groups together things that are so disparate.
But the point, and I think the question is strong in that, it could be that when things, two things are listed together, at least according to the Lach Mishnah's interpretation, it might just be that he saw that there was a relationship between them, or that there wasn't enough of a difference to list them separately. So, when you were trying to look to see if Shlomo Zalman says, oh, you see, Chatzis Shir or Less Than Shir is listed together with something else, it might not necessarily be the thing.
So say the last part again, that might not necessarily be a proof.
It might not, just because two things are listed together, mm-hmm. or in the context of other things, such as in the context of Mekalkel and the Shein HaSuf and Gufa, when you put
Shein HaSuf,
when we put that together, it might not necessarily be that he was saying that it's just it's the same as them, just as much as he's not saying, according to the last mission,
right, you'd have to take a couple of jumps. You'd have to agree with the Lechem Mishnah that they're different, and then you'd have to say that that difference is similar to this difference, which arguably is not, and that therefore lumping those together is comparable to this lumping together. But in any event, Rav Shlomo Zalman agrees with you, not because of that whole process, but he just says that it seems like the Rambam does mix together things of different chiyuvim because of that chatz yishir mixing. But as we saw, one perhaps could assume not that way. Well, maybe the Rambam doesn't agree. It's strange. I mean, in general, it's hard to ask in Rav Shlomo Zalman, but it's, I have to think through a little bit more. Why is he convinced that the fact that the Hachras HaPoskim is that Chatz Yishir is awesome in Torah and Shabbos, why is that a raya the Rambam agrees? Why does that not exclude the possibility? Why does it exclude the possibility the Rambam doesn't think so? So the assumption that the Rambam may pack a hold that it's Drabbanan is probably easier to say than the other way around. Okay. There must be a reason. In any event, so it seems like from Rishonim, for the most part, they could have said this is Drabbanan with this debate a little bit about the Rambam. What exactly should we read into the Rambam? So in the Achronim, there is more of an attitude that this is really just about the Onesh and that it's not about the Lav. And one of the major proponents of this was the Nesivus, Nesei from Makor Chaim, on Hilchos Pesach. So he talks about this, that let's say if you have a situation like the Gemara is talking about, where it's close to Shabbos, and let's say you have a burden on your animal, you're basically involved in the situation of Mechamer. You have your animal is carrying stuff for you, and you have another animal with you, you have two animals with you. So you could spread the burden he's carrying between the two animals and have them share this burden. And that would be a situation of zeyachol, because beforehand you had one animal holding it, now you're going to split it between two animals. So to have shnayim shaso by the animals, would that help for the issur of mechamer? So in that context, he thought that initially that might be a good idea, but no, basically his conclusion is that this is only an exemption from the Chiyuv Chatas, and it isn't an exemption from the Yisurim of Shabbos. So therefore, especially Machamer, which isn't subject to a Chiyuv Chatas, is only a Lav, so then in that situation, there still would be just as much of an Isur as anything else, and you're not accomplishing anything by spreading it between the two animals. So some Achronim, Chaim Sofer, and others raised a question on that specific formulation, because it says it comes out funny, it comes out that the malacha of your animal is more chamer than the malacha of the person, that by a person it would help on some level, and by the animal it wouldn't help. It's hard to believe. The whole idea of the animal not doing malacha on Shabbos is based on a pasuk that talks about you and your household and your animals. Presumably it's all at least on some level comparable, and if anything, less chomer by the animals, but not more chomer. So there's a whole discussion, and the Achronim had to explain that. Yor Sameach talks about this. There is possibly a way to address it. We won't necessarily get into it now because of the time, but that's a discussion. Basically, you say that it's just about the Onesh, and the Avera still exists, and therefore that might include other Malachas on Shabbos that are not subject to Onshin, not being affected at all. And it also may come out to the conclusion that Yontif, like we mentioned yesterday, and was the suffix that Rabbi Kiva Eger has in his one of his Sfarim, that this should be applied to Yontif as no difference. That Yontif also is not subject to any principle of Shnayim Shaso, because it's only a lav anyway, and it's not subject to Onshin. Question?
It's not saying that the
Rabbi, when we deal with a person, apparently it's better to have Shnayim Shaso, so it's less than a malacha.
Because before you did Shnayim Shaso, it was never worth it. lowest level.
Right, she's saying since the Chiddush is, they're still alive,
yeah.
So what can you do? The fact is that Machamer just didn't have any room to go any lower, and this just went lower to their level. Right, so it still comes out a little bit funny, depends on how you want to compare the two, but it comes out a little bit funny that it would be better for people. That's essentially the thrust of the Makor HaChaim's Chiddush, that it's only about the Lav, and therefore that's what it comes down to. This was also the position of Rabbi Yosef Engel in his Sefer of Tshuvas. Rabbi Yosef Engel, we often quote his other Sfarim, but he has a Sefer of Shalos of Tshuvas as well, called the Tshuvas Ben Paras. And in Siman Yud, he makes this assumption as well, that it's only about Lavin, it's not about, it's only about Onshin, it's not about exempting you from a Lav, or exempting you from any other kind of an Isser. We are going to have to continue a little bit into tomorrow because we have a few points left. I'll just mention one other major position right now. So in the Tshuvas Chesed Lavram, the Chesed Lavram was written by the author of the Eshel Lavram, but you have to qualify it further because the Eshel Lavram is also one of the components of the Prima Gadim. So every time you quote this Eshel Lavram, you have to say the Eshel Lavram and the B'chacha Rav, because there's two Eshel Lavrams. So not the Prima Gadim, the B'chacha Rav. So the B'chacha Rav has Tshuvas called the Chesed Lavram. So there he wants to suggest as follows, that we asked the question before, is there any significance to the fact that Shnayim Shaso is taught to us largely in the context of Hotzah? And even though we assume that it does apply to other Malachas, but should we glean anything from the fact that it comes up in Hotzah so prominently? So the assumption was that maybe Malacha Geruah would play a role or something like that. So this is not going in that direction. But the Chesed Lavram does assume that we should pay close attention to where it comes up. And he suggests that it's not phrased as a sweeping principle in all of Malacha Shabbos. It is applied in a couple of contexts, but not in all of Malacha Shabbos. Because, he says, it only comes up when there is a concept of a shir. That if you have a malacha that could somehow be broken down into parts, either because there is a shear involved, so there is some minimal requirement, or there are a couple of stages. So let's say, for example, Akira and Hanacha. So when you have something like that, so then you have a Ptur of Shnayim Shaso. Basically, since you have a couple of components that have to be there, whether it's qualitative components or quantitative components, Akira and Hanacha, or some amount or something like that, so then, you could say that Shnayim Shaso splits it up into two people, that the shear is not all attached to one person. The process is not all attached to one person. But a malacha that's not shayach to any concept of a shear and doesn't take any time for it to happen, happens in an instant, and doesn't have stages to it, and doesn't have any minimal requirement. So he was mechadesh that in that context, there's no principle of Shnayim Shaso. There's no exemption. So there is a sefer, I think I mentioned a few minutes ago, there's a nice sefer called the Ole Shimon, which has a nice discussion, a lengthy 20-page or so discussion on the Shnayim Shaso. So he asserts, based on this, he takes this as authoritative, that one could argue on it, but he asserts, based on this, that the kula that some want to suggest, that we mentioned yesterday, a tshuva of Nassim Gestetner about this possibility, that let's say we're dealing with an electric device, that there's some advantage to having two people flip the switch at the same time, or two people pick up the phone at the same time, or something like that. So he says he thinks that that's, for a couple of reasons, he thinks that's not relevant. But one of them is, based on this Chesed Lavram, he says the malacha happens instantly. So there's no room to, there's no shear involved, and there's no stages, so there's no room to split this between two people. So a malacha like that, there's no exemption of Shnayim Shaso. In addition, you could also ask, and we'll just quickly slip this under the wire, we'll have to say a few little bit more tomorrow, and we'll also try to start the sugya of Chatei Kedesh Yizkel, we'll try to do both tomorrow. But there is also the assumption here that it's an open question whether or not we even advise people, B'makom, Choli, Pekuach Nefesh, whatever it is, to use Shnayim Shaso. So far it's not clear that there is such an assumption, that there are those who assert that the whole idea that we prefer Ali Dayakum or whatever type of Shinoi, whatever it is, that if that logic even applies to Shnayim Shaso, it's not clear that the post could ever do recommend that. And that may also go to this question, that maybe it's still Asur Daraisa, it's just only relevant to the Onesh, and that's not necessarily going to make a difference. Although, parenthetically, you could say, but so what? What about shiurim? If we recommend for a chol on Yom Kippur to eat less than a shiur, so there again, you're dealing with an issur deraisa without an onesh, so if it's really comparable to that, so let's say still, if it's an issur without an onesh, that's still better than an issur with an onesh, and maybe we still should say that that's a recommendation. But in any event, we don't find this prominently invoked. I won't say nowhere. Rabbi Akiva Eiger does consider it, I wouldn't say nowhere it comes up, but it's not prominently featured in the advice that we give in the situation of Pikuach Nefesh, so there's room to wonder if it's the kind of thing that we really treat as less of an Aveira, or do we just say it's Pater, but it doesn't necessarily have less of an Aveira attached to it. All right, so we'll have to say a little bit more tomorrow, and then we'll get into the Kadei Kadei Shizke, and everyone should have...